It was a big night last night over at the Adelaide Oval. Port Adelaide took on the Geelong Footy Club. And the Geelong Footy Club, at one stage, were down 21 points, but just motored home Whisper. It was a high-quality game of footy. Mm. There was a nice contrast in styles early. The ones that wanted to go quick and the others that are a bit more measured when it's is warranted. And Geelong have prevailed. So they get their team together. They get their big guns back. Rowan and Cameron and Hawkins were outstanding in the middle of the ground.
Duncan back yesterday.
It was just even across the board. I'm looking at the numbers. There wasn't a big, you know, one player only had over 20 touches. It's just a nice even performance. And this is a Port Adelaide side who, when they're going, they look fantastic. They're impressive when they move in the footy quickly and they're able to get out the back of Geelong. But the reality is they've failed again against the top eight side.
You spoke about Geelong yesterday and you said that why isn't anyone talking about them? They're 8-3. They had a great record. They haven't been playing that well, but they've still been winning. They've added Cameron and Smith and also Higgins to the side, and Dangerfield was back yesterday. Did you see something about them last night in the first half of football that said to you that they are going to be better than they were last year and they can win the flag this year?
Well, you have to say that their scoring power has been exponentially improved with the addition of Jeremy Cameron. And Jeremy Cameron's an elite operator. He's an elite key forward of the competition. Mm. And you've thrown him in with probably the best key forward of the competition in the past 10 years. So it stands to reason. And then as a result of that, Rowan becomes a floater. Like Rowan, I know he gets highly criticised, Gary Rowan. Gary Rowan's a nightmare matchup for any opposition coach and defence. So all of a sudden now he becomes a third matchup. So look, I think if they can keep these three together, obviously, you know, their midfield, they get Dangerfield and Duncan back into the side. It just, I think they've done so beautifully well to be, what is it now, 9 wins and 3 losses. And they haven't really, save for maybe one or two occasions, had their best side available.
Do you know who I actually think is the best addition to their team, though? I know that you're speaking about Cameron and you always talk about the key forwards, but Smith, for me, is the best addition to their team of those three because of the way that he plays. And he's been doing it for years and years, and all the Hawthorn fans know exactly what we're talking about here. His ability to get up and down the ground, get back to be part of the defensive unit, block the ball, get a possession in the midfield. He chips the ball well. He uses his left foot intelligently. He knows when to go. He knows when not to go. He knows when to kick the ball, where to kick the ball. Yeah. He's such an intelligent player, and he's the type of player that Geelong hasn't had in their midfield mix.
Yep, no, he's been a great addition. I don't think he's more important. I think Geelong.
Not. Let's go with the big forwards.
No, well, I think Geelong could win a premiership without Isaac Smith. I don't think they could win one without Jeremy Cameron.
Well, look, okay, we can differ.
But that's
we
not can the differ same. On anyway, that. That's pedantic. I mean, he's
okay, and they've got Cam Guthrie still to come back into the side.
Cam Guthrie to come back in as well. Their best player for the year.
So they are well equipped. Did you see anything last night? And I know you only watched to halftime, but did you see anything that worried you then about Port Adelaide's inability to be able to mix it in some ways? And we're talking about the pointy end here of the competition, so the very best.
Yeah. Well, it's when the game's on their terms, and this is what happens with all teams when they get to this really elite level, is when it's on their terms, they look so damaging and so potent, they're able to get behind this Geelong defence. But when some heat and some pressure came, then they weren't able to move the ball as, you know, with the fluency that they did when they're kicking goals. And then that's when they start to get into a little bit of trouble. They lose their structure, they get offside. Geelong win the footy back on turnover. And how many times did you see Geelong players running into their forward 50 without Port Adelaide, you know, their defence structured up and set up like that? So
they broke down a number of times, didn't they?
Yeah, and on turnover particularly, it's always going to be – it's a great indicator on how you set your side up. If you can protect your back half on turnover, that means you've got great structure and, you know, people talk about what's it look behind the ball, and that's when they sort of got exposed in the end.
If you watched the game last night, give us a call and tell us what you thought. The other thing about Geelong was Radaglia playing in the ruck. You know what I love most about him and is his follow-on work. You know, like the ruckman that contests and then hits the ground and then participates in the next passage of play or the passage of play after that. Mm. He's as athletic as any of the ruckmen going around at the moment. Yeah. Now, I know they haven't sort of – he hasn't been necessarily the clear number one choice.
No.
But I reckon they're starting to think along those lines now. That's probably our best side is him in the ruck for us.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I think Chris Scott has alluded to that, you know, over time, over the past 18 months, that he's in our best 22, and we want Sav in, and we want to get him to have a good run at it uninterrupted. So they may be arriving at that point. Blitzarves, you know, you talk about Smith, you know, I watch Blitzarves at times when they're under pressure, and his ability to run from one end to the other and protect the back half like Isaac Smith was, you know, profound. So that maybe they're happy, maybe they can get by with Blitzarves and Radagalia. I mean, he didn't. What a freakish player Mark Blitzarves is.
Yeah, his ability to be able to do so many different things and fill so many different roles for them.
Mick's in Hastings. G'day, Mick.
Hey, boys, you're on fire again today.
G'day, Mick.
Listen, that game last night after halftime, Geelong just, really, they just played with them because they got to the lead, Port Adelaide, a couple of times, and then Geelong just said, nah, not having that, and took off. But one man I haven't heard you mention too much, which is a massive difference to that team, old Paddy Dangerfield. He was back to his old self in that last quarter.
Oh, well, that's good. I'll catch up with that today. So that's good to see. Any player that's coming back off the layoff that Patrick had is entitled to ease their way back into it. Important is, so I'm a massive fan. The other one I'm a huge fan of is Mitch Duncan. He is a beautiful footballer, that bloke. Underrated still, do you think?
No, I don't think that he's underrated now. I think he was for...
We're not agreeing with much today.
No, we're in different camps today. But I don't think he is underrated now. I think there was a period of time where he was, but he's a very good midfielder. I thought they looked more powerful around the ball. And for most of the first half, I thought they looked more powerful around the ball. When Port broke and they opened up the play and they moved the ball and the angles and that type of thing, and they worked quickly, I thought it troubled Geelong.
What about the
fact... But I didn't think that they were able to actually out-muscle them around the contest.
What about the fact that they went to Boak and tagged him early? I thought he did a fantastic job again coming back into that side. And that hasn't happened too often. I mean, the tagger, I'm not saying the tagger's back in form, but Mark O'Connor went to him at the start, the very opening bounce, kept him to 8 touches at halftime. You talk about, presence and strength around the footy. Then a bit falls onto the shoulders of Ollie Wines, obviously, who was pretty good. Robbie Gray did his job. But, I thought O'Connor was, certainly in the first half. I mean, Boakey had 10 in the third, I see, so he dealt with that after half time.
So do you think Geelong had become a real role-playing type team?
Yeah, I think so. Well,
Dalhouse, the reason they keep Dalhouse is because he plays that role, the way that they want. They don't get a lot of the ball. They don't kick a lot of goals, but they play that role.
I'll tell you what else they do, is their defenders run hard, aggressively forward with impunity.
Did that many times.
They've got the license to go forward and not look back. So they must have, and this is where Blitzarves and Smith and all those players must, when they see these guys. You watch in the start of that game, Henderson and Tui particularly. They push hard aggressively forward. That's a hard thing to counter. They've got the mechanisms in place to cover themselves if they get hit on turnover.
That's a good call off the text too. Jack Henry, hugely improved player. He's good in the air, isn't he?
Yeah, very good athlete. Great athlete. Hey, Mixing Clyde North. G'day, Mick.
There you go, boys. A couple of those people have stolen me thunder. But 3 points. Jack Henry, really good game. Number two, the forward entry by Port Adelaide was really woeful. They just bombed it in, and the big fella, Charlie Dixon, had like 3 blows on him most of the night. You can see I was waiting for him to deck someone. He was that close to it, I reckon. No other forwards from Port Adelaide helped him out at all, give him a block, give him a chop, do anything. And they mongrelled the ball. How many times they switch play with a soft, really late kick and see Geelong come swoop over the top every time?
Yeah, well, they lost Marshall early, which made it difficult. Marshall got knocked out in the first probably 3 or 4 minutes, which meant their preference is Dixon, Marshall, Georgiades, supported by Rosie and others. Yeah. So they lost him. So that made a difference. But he marked the footy really well in the first half. He's had issues against Geelong in recent times, Big Charlie, but his mitts were working early. What about Rosie's 4 goals in the first quarter?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What about the goal from Farrell?
Yes.
Just explain how you can actually kick that.
They kicked their left foot banana on the right forward pocket, which should, by the laws of physics, rotate away from the goal face.
And it came back the other way.
It started to sort of go away, and then as it's lost its trajectory, the rotation brought it back through the middle of the goals. It was an incredible, incredible goal.
How many times did you do something like that?
Never.
A couple of times a quarter?
Never, never, never. There's a very good call from, I think it might have been the Duke, who said, if that was Eddie Betts, we'd still be talking about that today.
Mm.
So that's got to be a contender, Cain Farrell. Cain Farrell. Farrell Farrell. Mark's in Strathmore before we get a break. G'day, Marco.
All good.
tickled the Sorry, Mark.
Probably had one of your best weeks, Tim. I think you've had 8 good questions and 2 great questions. So you've had a pretty good week, I think.
Thank you, Mark. But, thanks for keeping tally, too.
Yeah, I listen all day, every day, and the morning show's the best. The game last night, I think that the umpires are starting to clamp down on the holding, which is fantastic.
Yep.
And the one thing that they really need to look at is these backmen pushing forwards into packs, because somebody one day is going to get a serious injury. Like, what's his name? The Melbourne fullback.
May,
yeah. He's a regular at it. He pushes blokes into packs. And there was one that could have been really bad last night was the Geelong guy you were just talking about, the back guy. The young guy with the headband.
Yep. Henry, yep.
Yeah. There was one incident last night where he late pushed a guy into the pack and it could have been really dangerous.
Yeah, good call, Marco. You've got to be careful with that. We don't want that. I think they will come down, if they see that, they come down pretty hard on anyone they should anyway, from that point of view.
Cain Farrell. Our great man, Chief Sports Reporter Sammy Edmund, exclusively reported yesterday that rival clubs believe... What about this, that they're an outside chance to prize Jamara Ugle-Hagan out of the Witten Oval? This is what he had to say yesterday.
Rival clubs, some of them, believe they're an outside chance to snatch Jamara Ugle-Hagan out of the Western Bulldogs.
Really?
There's multiple clubs that have inquired about Ugle-Hagan's, I guess, willingness to entertain a trade. He has grown somewhat disillusioned, Jared, with life at the Dogs. The recent decision to leave him behind in Melbourne during the team's extended trip away to Sydney and obviously Perth was seen in some circles as a missed opportunity to get the kid along.
Well, that would stun me like few other things in footy if he was... I'm sure Sammy Evans right. I'm sure clubs have made an inquiry, have rung up and said, just by the way, I don't think this is only my opinion. I've got no heads up on this at all. I don't think there's a snowflake's chance in hell that they would entertain any offer for Jamara Ugle-Hagan.
No, is there a snowflake's chance...
I don't
chance,
know anything,
hang on, No, but is there a chance that he and his management... aren't happy?
I don't know that. I don't know any. I don't know the boy. I don't know him at all. I just know his talent. I know that you could put a thousand stories on the table to say, yeah, here's a great story about a young man who's had to bide his time before he became great. And I don't think the Western Bulldogs are going to allow that to happen.
I don't know him at all, but I would think that if you're taken with the pick that they did, with the hype that was surrounding him, and then you're watching your other mates making their debut at other AFL clubs, and you're still not getting picked, I can understand that the kid is probably impatient and thinking, what about me? And maybe he can't see it as exactly as it is from the Bulldogs' perspective now, but that's the handling and the management of him. And hopefully he's getting the right advice about this as well.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of youth. Imagine if you buckled or not that the buckle's not the right word, but if you were to sit back and just appease every young person in sport who was impatient about trying to get to where they want to go, it's you sit them down, you explain, you point it out.
They don't necessarily believe you though. Well, you go back to the days when we were talking to people from the GWS Giants, with all those young kids they had in there. Mm. And one of the problems they had there was managing the expectations of the kids, because they all thought, okay, we're all early draft picks. We should all be playing now.
Yeah. Great
clubs. We don't want to wait.
Yeah, they were a startup where they're all racing against each other. So I put them to the side. great clubs or very good footy clubs, which the Western Bulldogs are, manage this, and they'll manage it beautifully. Luke Beveridge is a star. Luke Beveridge is a great person.
No, no, I understand that.
I know you know that. I know you're not questioning that.
No, I'm not questioning that at all.
I know you're not.
But what I'm saying, Sam's story is probably, I would say, 100% right. There would be clubs out there who would be thinking, okay, well, they're not playing this kid. Yeah. I'm hearing that he's not particularly happy about not getting a game.
You know
Let's
what?
See whether or not there's some chance that we could prize him out of there.
If I was the Western Bulldogs, I would hope he's not happy.
Of course.
I would hope that he's banging down the door saying, why aren't I playing and get me in? I would hope that's the case.
And then you'd be hoping also that, apart from that,
he sits and listens and understands why he's not and continues to push hard and hope to get there by the end of the year.
Exactly.
You talk about no one seeing, I'll get the audio, I've got it here. Someone sent it to me from Western Australia. Brad Hardy called the fact that Nathan Buckley would be gone by round 12 this year, about 3 months ago, on radio.
Did he really?
It was one of the great calls. I'll get it out. I'll see if I can get it out of my phone. I'm pretty stupid when it comes to that. But I'll see if I can pass it on and we can have a listen to it. That is a good get. Rob Murphy, he had a response, as you would expect. Let's have a listen to Bob.
I'm pretty shocked, really. Just like he's been there for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
It's his first season. He's had a few injuries. He's played some good twos footy. Yep. The positive around it is that he's a number one key position player that he thinks he should play and he's hungry to play. The pessimistic side of me is like, gee, that's early to be getting the grumbles.
Grumble away, I say. Grumble away. Who wrote Robert Murphy out there? His name's Bob. He changed it about 4 years ago. He's not going anywhere. I think he'll be an absolute beauty. Well, indications are that he's got everything in his power to be a beauty, and the fact that he's having to wait a bit's not going to kill him. The worst thing.
Sam's story, very vague. Looks like something just trying to make something out of nothing. No, he's not like that. I go to war for Sam Edmund because you and I speak to him often. He does not ever go to air with a half-truth.
I'll go to war. I'll drive the tank, whether I'd charge over the first hill.
You would?
For Sam.
Right. So you can drive tanks and Formula One cars, can you?
You're not listening again.
There's nothing you can't do.
Mark Bosnich, I know 10 minutes ago he was there because we checked in on him to see if he'd be right out of 8:30. He said, yep, no problem. At the minute, he's not answering the phone. This is what we'll do.
Where's Bozza?
We'll take this break right now and then we'll see if he's around.
He's around?
He can get a bit distracted. He might be making a coffee.
He's got kids, though. Also, just quickly, Gary, fellas, Caroline Wilson is hit and miss at times, but on Footy Classified 2 weeks ago, she nailed it. Not only that Buckley was going, and that it would be by the bye round. There you go. So she did get that right. That's from Joe.
Not bad.
Just to give some balance to it all.
Given that Brad Hardy got it right 2 months ago. That's the best get. Don't worry about that.
No, that was excellent too. And we've found our man. He might have just been making himself a cup of coffee or looking after the kiddies at home there. But we haven't had him on our program for a long time. And I don't know about you, Gary, but I've missed him. Good morning to you, Mark Bosnich.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
We're going well. Bozak. Nice to see you, my friend.
Nice to hear from you. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully I'll see you soon. But nice to hear from you both. I haven't spoke to you for ages.
No.
Too long.
It's annoyed us. Tell us this. Put it into some sort of context. Ange Postecoglou being appointed as the new Celtic boss. How big is that?
Well, for Australian football, it's as big as it comes. There's no doubt about that. And in terms of the realm of world football, it's big news. Celtic are a massive football club. They've got a worldwide support of millions. It really is. It's great news for, I believe it's great news for Australian football. And I believe eventually it will be great news for Celtic Football Club as well.
How patient are they at that particular club, though, Celtic? Their expectation will be that he'll get it right from day one, yes?
Well, they will. Look, the bottom line is that they won't have as much patience, the supporters, as I believe, as they would have done if somebody had come in that is more familiar to them. However, they've got to win. There's no doubt about that. They've just won, come off the back of winning 9 in a row. They lost the title last season to Rangers, their great rivals, by 25 points. So it's not going to be easy. 25 points is quite steep. But, you know, if there's a man that, in my opinion, that can take them back to the summit of the Scottish Premiership, it's Ange. I truly believe that.
Why Bozza? What do you think he's got that he can deliver over there?
First and foremost, the style he plays football. You know, the modern football to be played in that type of style is something for fans to really behold. And I think that's very, very important. But to marry that in with winning football, even though he and I used to debate about that at the time, but I think he knows now, especially after being in Japan, and he'll definitely know after being at Celtic, you need to marry that into winning football, which he's done in the past where he's been. I believe the fact that as well, the last thing of this is the determination of sort of coming and being a bit of an outsider will drive him to that success. Those three things really, in my opinion, will give him that impetus to go on and be successful.
Are you going to join his coaching staff, Bozza, if he wanted a goalkeeping coach? Would you be the man for him?
I've told you two in the past, and this goes for Melbourne as well. As much as I love Melbourne, as much as I love Glasgow, these places are too cold for me in the winter. Yeah, I need to be in places where it's a little bit warmer.
You wouldn't have wanted to be here the last 2 days, Bozza. It's been freezing.
Oh well, we've had it up here too. They call it the Arctic blast. Yeah, and so when I was looking at the degrees and then comparing it to what it was like when I used to play football in England. Didn't really compare. I don't know how I did it, but I did.
Well, you wouldn't get around the budgie smugglers with that sort of weather down there on the old...
I don't like them anyway, full stop.
Well, what was the coldest condition that you ever played a game of soccer?
I'll never forget this, right? So my first Christmas in England, I was 16, and all the young boys went home to their various parts of the... And, you know, we were in digs in Manchester, and Fergie turned around and said to me, "What are you doing for Christmas?" And I said, "Well, I'm definitely not going back to Sydney, aren't I?" He goes, "No." He goes, "You know, okay, smarty pants." He goes, "You're going to come in and train with the first team." And I remember Christmas mornings, we trained on Christmas morning, and it was that cold in Salford, man. My mouth froze over, and I was talking funny. And all the boys are going, "What are you doing here? Why don't you go back to the beach and this, that, and the other?" And I couldn't answer them properly. So can you imagine me not being able to talk? I remember just saying to them, "Now I understand why you talk like this, because your mouth got frozen over." That was got to be the coldest. And I remember staying under the shower for about 50 minutes, seriously, under the shower, just like warming up afterwards. Yeah.
Hey, is Kevin Muscat going to go with Ange? Do you know, Bozza?
Oh, I don't think so. I really, really don't think so. And I don't mean that from a personal perspective towards Kevin, but the fact that he's been at Rangers, I think, should rule him out automatically. Not me personally, but I think that will rule him out automatically.
Oh, is it that tribal, is it, if you've had one connection with one club or
pretty,
the other?
Pretty much so. I mean, it's happened a couple of times in the past, but I think for the sake of, you know, with big players, but for the sake of an assistant manager, I really can't see it happening.
We've got a lot of Melbourne City fans here in this city, obviously. Bozza, are they going to go all the way and win the title?
Well, I think they can. There's no doubt about that. They've been absolutely fantastic all season. They're champions of the regular season. Unfortunately, going to be missing three of their top players, you know, during the series because of the Socceroos. But they're as good a chance as any. I mean, I know last night they lost, but it was just like, you know, it was more like a warm-up game for them. And Newcastle did have something to play for in terms of not getting the wooden spoon, and they wanted to get it, you know, as high as they can for these FA Cup playoffs. The only concerning thing from last night was Andrew Nabut and Roston Griffiths going down. So hopefully for their sake, they won't be injured. But they're as good as chance as ever. They've played some scintillating football all season, and they've been really, really just exceptional.
And you can hear the finals live here on SEN. Simon Hill will call the action for us. Mm-hmm. The actual season itself, there's been this discussion, a change of broadcast rights holder for the A-League. Where do you reckon it sits? Where's the right spot for the A-League?
What do you mean in terms of?
In terms of the season.
I think the change is... in terms of the season, the playing time, I think it's contributed to entertaining football. It's a winter sport. And, you know, our sport, if you're not a fanatical football supporter, our sport relies on it being quick for it to be exciting, and it can be exciting for everyone. But playing in the middle of the summer, that's nigh impossible. So I think it's much better to have as many games in the cooler weather as you possibly can, which means playing in Melbourne in December.
Hey, Bozza, we've got a bloke that comes on our show. He talks about wine, and it's very good and entertaining, and people love it. And
he went over to
England, and he spent some time with Sir Alex Ferguson at Old Trafford. Yeah. He went down into the Sir Alex Ferguson's office before the game. Like, this is an hour before kickoff, right? And he was sitting down there drinking Pinot and great red wine down there with Sir Alex at that
time.
And
Wolf Blass.
Yeah.
And some Wolf. Wolf Blass was with him. Yeah, yeah, the famous Wolf Blass. Yeah. Does that sound like the Sir Alex that you remember there at Old Trafford?
Well, we never used to see him before a game, so maybe that's what he did. If that was before a game that he was managing, one glass is okay, I guess. But he's done his work all during the week. Yeah. Remember the three things he used to say to us before we walked out, yeah? Your concentration, your breathing, and most important, your enjoyment. That can go for any sport, yeah? And then are you listening, Hawthorne?
Well, that's right. I wanted to get onto that, Bozza, because the Hawks are not where we've expected them or we've experienced them. Are you worried? Are you about to jump off or not?
I spoke to Robbo last week on just briefly, and I said, look, listen, they've got another couple of weeks. And I don't care how cold it is. I will be on a plane, lockdown or not, and I'll be coming down and speaking to the board. So they better just pick it up.
And Clarko's, they got a couple of sides that might be circling the little master coach. He said yesterday he's not going.
Locking down for a long-term contract. And I know with the salary cap is difficult, but giving the funds and the backing he needs to make our team champions again.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
He is here in a minute. I just want to be, it's had this pointed out to me, and rightfully so, there's two debutants playing for the Fremantle Footy Club that I failed to mention. Brandon Walker is an 18-year-old from East Freo, and Joel Weston, an 18-year-old from Claremont. So they debut for the Dockers as well. So they're big ins. Oh, it's a big week. It's been one of the biggest weeks in footy of the year. Who else better give us his perspective than Johnny from Epping, a great friend of ours and a great friend of the program. Morning to you, Johnny.
Good morning, boys. Good morning. How you going?
We're going well. It was a pretty busy week, wasn't it?
Oh, I reckon. So then again.
Yeah. Jeez. I don't know where to start. What were your initial thoughts when you heard that Nathan Buckley was stepping down had been told to step down, however way you want to say it?
Oh, I reckon he's been told, but I can see this coming for a while.
Did you?
Because the Collingwood, all the problem they had on the club, and plus all these years, and he coached the team with a big team like Collingwood, you know, the supporters and the club, the members, and they couldn't afford it to not have a premiership. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that some change has to come, and I knew what's going to come soon, which it did. But it happened for the good of the club anyway.
Yeah, 10 years is a long time, isn't it?
I reckon if you can't get the premiership in 10 years, you know, it's a better time to say yourself, I've done enough, I've done my best, I tried, it didn't work, it's a better time, and now someone else is going to take over. And that, I reckon the way he went about it, he'd done a good job.
Oh, he was
Johnny,
full of class.
Yeah, he was. You were a concreter back in the day, but after about 10 years of concreting, you would have been just hitting your straps, wouldn't you?
to tell you the truth, I never been a concrete. I was an inspector to check the concrete.
Well, how can you be an inspector if you've never been a concreter?
Because I was working Rodrigo Scratching for over 10 years, and I knew exactly what goes on.
Okay, all right. Now,
you don't have to lay it to know it's any good, Tim.
When I was going to check the jobs, I didn't even have to get out of the car to have a look if that's prepared properly.
You can tell from 5 miles.
How could you tell? How could you tell from the car?
Oh, if you've got a lot of experience, you can, yes.
Experience.
Oh, right. You had a pair of binoculars, did you?
No, I didn't have to have a binocular eyes. I knew exactly what I was doing.
Okay, well, there's a couple of dodgy blokes out there using the wrong grade of Rio, weren't there?
All right. Yeah, instead of to use F72, they use F80. You know, it just to save $50. Yeah, yeah. But
they couldn't get it past you though.
No, they couldn't. No, because before they put the concrete, I have to check.
Yeah. That's right, from the car.
Hey, Johnny, who's going to
from the car sometimes?
Sometimes. Who's going to replace Nathan Buckley? Do you think?
Well, I presume that's my opinion.
Yep.
I would give a go to Mark William for 3 years, and Scott Penelbury to be assistant coach for 3 years, and then pass it on to Penelbury. Because I'm telling you why, if Penelbury take over after 3 years, all these old players that have been playing with him for so many years, they're all gone.
Right.
And he's going to have a new young team again. So he's going to have a Collingwood team to play the way he wants to play.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
What do you like about him, though? Why do you think that he's going to be suited to coaching Scotty Pendlebury?
Oh, he's such a genuine bloke. You know what I mean? He's not a not arrogant fella.
Yes.
You know, I reckon he can communicate with the players. And the same as Mark Williams. He's not, you have to look for people when they know how to talk to the people and know how to talk to players to put it through their head the wrong things or the bad things, the good things. You know what I mean? And I can see the same as that coach from Brisbane Lions.
Yep.
Yeah, Chris Fagan.
He's a very nice person. And that's why the players... They play for him now because it's not like the old days, 40, 50 years ago, when you get a player, you get on the shirt and smash him against the wall and say, what you've done today, I wasn't very happy. You know what I mean?
Yep, I know exactly what you mean. Now, Gary and I had
Did you say Pendlebury moved like a snail, though, one day?
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with the coach position.
Ah, good point.
That's right.
Very good
point.
He's
running like a snail.
Don't bring that up, Gary. It's got nothing to do with his coaching ability. Now, Gary and I don't know whether you were listening the other day, Johnny, but we had a very, very animated and heated argument. I think the game and the quarter length or the length of the quarters should remain as it is right now. Gary wants them right back. He wants them a lot shorter. Where do you stand on this?
Listen, I watched on the couch last Monday night, and Jared Healy, he make my blood boil. I'm telling you why, Gary.
Yes.
I watched an old replay about 40, 50 years ago.
Yep.
They were playing 4 inches of mud. Yep. Now the players, they play on the ground. It's like a billiard type.
Yes,
and you still complaining so you wanted to have a short quarter? You've got to be joking.
Good point. I'm going to tell him that too. Good point, Johnny.
No, you were arguing exactly the same thing as Jared Healy.
No, I've changed.
Yes,
I've swung with John.
And Benny McKay, we've got to keep moving. Benny McKay, he's re-signed. Robbie Tarrant's back in the side. Wayne Carey has written a very interesting article this morning about how North Melbourne should make Ben McKay's brother,
Harry,
a godfather-type offer, Johnny, and get into the Kangaroos. What do you think about that?
Oh, I don't mind to if they could get him, but I don't want him to overpay him and finish up like a Pollock. I want him to get a player and to pay the right price. Not because they don't want to go to North because it's a small club and they take advantage and say they put up another $200,000 extra, otherwise I'm going to go to a top club.
Good point. But he is leading the Coleman medal, so he's a bit different to Jared Pollock, who was, with all due respect, was a halfback flanker or a winger. So it's a big key player you could get.
Yeah, but you're going to pay a lot of money as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You have to pay a lot of money. My word, you will.
And can I get another point with you, Gary?
Oh, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Last week you asked me if I want to bring Brown back.
Yes.
And you're going to get Simpkin.
Yep.
I'll give you another offer. Yep. I'll give you Simpkin and a light pick for Pickett. What do you reckon about that?
You're giving me Simpkin.
And a light pick.
And a light pick.
Yep. For Pickett.
For Pickett.
Stick it, Pickett. No chance, Johnny boy. We're keeping
Pickett. So I stumped you there, Al.
You did stump me. Righto. I'm going to come back next week with another offer for you, okay?
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, Johnny, just quickly, what did you have for dinner last night? What was on the table from Arissa last night?
Yeah,
I had a roast chicken, potatoes, carrot, and pumpkin.
Oh, the tummy must be better. Your tummy settled down?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks, not bad.
Good man. Hey, it's a joy. We love having a chat with you every Friday. Thanks for taking our call, and be safe with this wild weather around. Be safe, okay?
Thank you. Look after yourself.